This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hall of Famer legend Gary Williams will be on the show today. We'll talk some Terps hoops with Gary a little bit later on in the show. Maryland's on a roll. I'll weigh in on that as well. This from Owen Denton to open up the show. Owen is a 24-year-old fan of the show, fan of the team, lifelong listener and Skins fan, he writes. Five stars of a show you guys have. Quote, after watching the team all year and constantly listening to your show, I'm surprised you didn't mention that Jaden didn't have any flaws on your show last week. While I mostly agree and love Jaden Daniels to death, I have identified a few flaws from this past season that I think fixable for him and Cliff to work on. So Owen's done some heavy film work, Denton, and he's got three suggestions. Now, let me mention, Owen's responding to a show last week in which I, you know, pulled a quote from, I think it was Aaron Schatz, who essentially said, don't necessarily buy into quarterbacks in year two making a big jump from year one, especially when they had the kind of year that Jaden Daniels had. And I said, yeah, when you think about that logically, like, what are we going to see that is significantly improved from his rookie year? Like, at what point next year are we going to say, my God, did he get better at that? Wow. He went back in the offseason and he fixed that little problem that he had that was leading to this and that, and great job. Like, you and I were talking about this last week, and it's like, well, he doesn't have any flaws. I mean, there's a big difference between flaws and working to improve on something that is already done at a pretty good level. I don't think Jaden had a flaw. Like, you might say, well, he could improve in this area, he could improve in that area, and that's fine. But he didn't have a lot that was noticeable to the, you know, to the average evaluating football eye that we would notice next year got a lot better. Anyway, back to Owen's email, because he's identified a few flaws from this past season that he thinks are fixable for him, Jaden, and Cliff Kingsbury to work on. Number one, he writes, pocket presence and footwork. He writes, I'm surprised you didn't mention this because you did mention this mid-season. He does have somewhat of a habit to drift in the pocket and sometimes into the pressure. Not all of the time, but would like to see improvement here. Owen, there is no doubt that during one portion of the season, and I think it was earlier in the season, I remember saying he does occasionally drift a bit too much. He does occasionally, you know, kind of move into the pressure. But like you said, you know, I mentioned this mid-season. By the end of the season, it really wasn't an issue anymore. He was literally filleting teams from the pocket, left and right. But I do remember that there was a bit, right, Denton? Remember, like, midseason? Yeah, look, that the Philadelphia game in particular, and the next thing that Owen mentions, I'm gonna get to the Philadelphia game, the Thursday night Philadelphia game. But there were a couple of moments during, you know, look, week one, you should almost toss. Like, week one doesn't resemble anything that we saw the remainder of the year, starting in week two, when he was looking downfield rather than just running for the sake of running. But there were a couple of games where I remember saying he does tend to sometimes drift a little bit. But I don't think that that was a flaw by the time we got to the end of the year. Right?
No, there was. I feel like a lot of the what you would be considered to be flaws got better as the year progressed. So like,
yeah,
this guy's digging deep on film. I would hope that he's watching all of the year, because I could find flaws from like week one, but they were way better by week six, you know?
Yes, I agree. I mean, personally, I don't think anything was a flaw by the time we got to the end of the year. I don't think he had any flaws. There were probably some areas where the coaches would tell you with a much keener evaluating eye and with a lot more information, hey, this is what we're going to work on a little bit. You know, things like, because I, you know, many Mondays I would come in here and say, look, it seems like it was the perfect game. It was certainly an A+. The QBR, the PFF, everything resembles a near flawless game. But I bet you the coaches will find a play or two where they would say, you know, you went to Diami here. Actually, if you had waited another tick, look at what happened over here. You know, we had Crowder, you know, broke wide open and it was a bigger play. Whatever. I mean, we're talking about areas in which the team probably recognizes some area of improvement. But let me just also say before I continue with the rest of Owen's email, what I love about this email, Owen, it's such a reflection of this market, this fan base, this sports fan base. You know, I've been at times over the years, especially with Caps fans, been, you know, taken to task for not doing a lot of hockey on the show. And I've said many times before, I said, look, I mean, there's a time for hockey. It's usually when people, you know, the masses are paying attention, the playoffs, like we will have a lot of Caps talk when we get to these playoff games. They're going to be potentially the number one seed, more likely than not, in the East, and one of the favorites to go on to potentially win a Stanley Cup. Now, I think they're not actually one of the favorites, even though they could end up having the best record in the sport when they come off of this four-country in-season thing, which I've heard is incredibly intense and very entertaining. I'd be lying to you if I told you I've watched any of it. I've read about it, seen some of the highlights, but anyway, I digress. The point that I'm trying to make is that there's a big difference between hockey and football, hockey and even basketball in this town. You know, what Owen's doing is what a lot of fans do when it comes to football. There is a feeling among fans, and I'm not saying we're the only market like this, but this is what I love about it, is that everybody's a coach, everybody's a GM, because you understand the game. You can't do that. You can do that with a few people, and by the way, there are a couple of people on the, you know, on sports talk radio that understand hockey to a certain degree. But with the masses, in terms of reaching a mass audience outside of the playoffs for hockey, there isn't a lot of post-gaming. Like, man, I really think that the way they were using that, you know, 1-3-1 trap, you know, defensively, I really think they should have gone to more of a whatever. We don't get that. What we get is this. Oh, and this is people dig in to the detail, and by the way, and I'm one of these people, feel like you do understand it to a certain extent. And so this is a breakdown from Owen on Jaden Daniels and what they should prioritize in the offseason, you know, in terms of what they should work on. Football and basketball, football obviously more so than anything else, people are pretty sure they have the answers. And by the way, they present them in a way that, you know, is usually somewhat sensible. Anyway, so number one was pocket presence and footwork. I mentioned this during the midseason that he drifted a bit, sometimes into pressure. I don't know that it was as much into pressure. I think sometimes he drifted back a little bit, and then that created more of an opportunity for him to make a play. Number two was mid-level accuracy. Owen thinks that this is an area that, in which Jaden and Cliff can work on, that it's a fixable flaw. Although he was pretty damn accurate all year, I did see a good amount of high and very low balls thrown in the middle of the field and into dangerous areas. Most of the picks were not bad reads, but bad balls. So, look, man, I don't think that mid-level accuracy was a flaw in any way, shape, or form. I do remember some of the misses at times, and let's face it, he didn't have a lot of misses, but some of the misses were high at times, except for in that Philadelphia Thursday night game. A lot of the misses were low and in the dirt, if you recall. That's the one game outside of the Tampa opener in which things didn't look like they were, you know, understood. That was a rough night overall, not just for Jaden, but for Cliff, for the offense. They had a short week to prepare for Vic Fangio and that Eagles defense. You know, so we understand that that is a bit of an aberration when they had more time to prepare for it, witness a month later or, you know, 7 weeks later in the NFC title game, it looked a lot different. I don't think that he had any sort of mid-level accuracy issues. I think every quarterback occasionally misses high or misses low, especially under pressure. I don't have all nine, and that's all he threw, were nine interceptions. I don't have all nine in front of me. I don't remember if they were bad balls more than bad reads. I don't remember, actually. I do remember the Philly game on that Thursday night. You know, he forced a couple. Blankenship had a pick in which he really came back, and he was late, and they fooled him, and he forced it. That sounds like a project. To go back and look at the nine interceptions to say, were they bad balls or bad reads? Does anything come to mind for you, Denton, on his, you know, his nine interceptions in his rookie year? Just nine interceptions as a rookie? Do you remember? I don't remember all of them. There just weren't a lot of them to remember, obviously. But were they bad balls more than bad reads? Were they drops? Were they deflections? I can't remember all of them.
There were a few bad balls. I remember a distinct few. I don't remember all of them. I remember the ones against Philadelphia. The one to C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a bad ball. It was high. It was over the top. He missed. I think it was Luke coming over the middle. But I remember that one because
End of that game. The game they won.
It was. Yes. I think it was the final turnover. But I remember that one because I don't like C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And he got kicked out at the in the second half in that one. And I think he also threw a pick in that one to Blankenship.
Yeah, well, he threw the Blankenship one in the Thursday night game, and I remember that was a play in which he got fooled by the coverage. And they were trying to force it at that point, because remember, I think at that point they had fallen behind by two scores.
There was the one against Atlanta, too, where he got fooled. Remember, it was the possession. They were quick slanting to death, and then like either the D-end or the defensive tackle, maybe it was a linebacker who showed blitz and stepped out, and he was right in the throwing lane. That was just like every quarterback is going to make that mistake. You just got to
Caden Ellis. Right. Yeah. Anyway, let me continue with this. So then the last one is in terms of flaws that Cliff and Jaden can work on. Number three, wide receiver reads. Although we understand how phenomenally smart he was at reading defense and executing the offense, it felt like most weeks we talked about so many open misses with his wide receivers on the show. I'm not a coach, so I really don't know, but just something to point out. I don't know about open misses. You know, I felt like most weeks we talked about so many open misses. I don't think that's the case at all. I think there were weeks in which we said maybe he could have thrown it elsewhere. The coaches were probably going to tell him, you know, on three or four throws, hey, you could have gone to this spot or you didn't need to run. You could have thrown here. But I don't remember a lot of open misses. Right? Open misses? The guy completed 69% of his passes to, by the way, you know, not a great supporting cast for the most part. So I guess, first of all, honestly, this is, I love the this level of passion and really, like, I'm going to take on this thing, and I actually think there are some flaws here. This is what he needs to work on. Okay, great. We all have opinions, whether they're right or wrong. I would bet you, without question, Owen, that there are a list of things that Cliff Kingsbury and Tavita Pritchard and David Blau and the whole group and sat down and said, all right, these are the areas where we'd like to see some improvement, you know? But we're talking about, like, marginal improvement, maybe significant improvement, but not because these things were identified as flaws, but they were identified as areas in which he could be even better. There's a big difference. You could be even better at doing this. You could even be more consistent on the deep ball if you handle it this way. But I don't think at this point, after the season we just saw, that I would personally identify anything needing some level of improvement as a flaw. Anyway, thank you for that email. Do you want to, like, I was thinking I'd like to see, because we didn't take calls on this last week. Like, I did say it's hard for us next year. It will be hard for us to say that, man, he really improved upon, you know, this. I can't think of anything in which it would be so obvious that there was massive improvement on it. Maybe some of you disagree, like Owen does. Owen saw the very few flaws. I mean, that was the title of his email. It's not like he didn't think Jaden was great. He identified a few flaws. Like, what for you can Jaden fix that you'll, you know, see next year and say, wow, he worked on that and got that fixed? What are his flaws, if he has any? Or what are, more importantly, because I think it's really hard personally for me to identify a flaw, like an actual problem that needs to be fixed. What are the areas in which you think he can improve upon? I think that's a different conversation and a fair conversation. If you think he's got major flaws, have at it. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We'll open up phone calls, phone lines for that. I do, Denton, want to do a quick, what do you got? So I don't know if you've been following the odds on the number one pick in the draft. Cam Ward now is pretty much a solid favorite to be the number one pick in the draft. I've seen him basically anywhere from minus 150 to minus 180 to be the first pick in the draft. Abdul Carter is actually the second favorite to be the number one pick in the draft. Have you looked at any of the props on draft yet?
I have not looked at a lot of the props, but I knew that Cam Ward is viewed as the favorite.
I didn't know that. I thought Travis Hunter was going to be the favorite. I thought most people said you can't pass on Travis Hunter if you're Tennessee.
I think Travis Hunter is viewed as the best player, but Tennessee needs a quarterback.
That's true. And that's clearly why Cam Ward's the favorite. So he's significantly ahead of Shedeur Sanders. Most of the odds have Shedeur Sanders as like the third or fourth favorite to be the number one pick at like plus 400 to plus 600, somewhere in that range, depending on which book you're looking at. But Cam Ward came out yesterday and said the following. He said, you're either going to draft me or you're not. If you don't draft me, that's your fault. You've got to remember you're the same team that's got to play me for the rest of my career, and I'll remember that. Closed quote. I actually like Cam Ward. Not anywhere near to the level in which I like Jaden Daniels or even Caleb Williams before the draft last year. Even honestly, and I liked Penix Jr. I thought Penix Jr. was the third best quarterback. I liked him more than May. And I liked May. I just didn't like him as much as the other guys. So I do think Cam Ward's skill set actually fits today's NFL. I think he's got a chance to be a good starting quarterback in the NFL. If you watched him at all at Miami, he can make every throw. He's incredibly mobile and elusive and kind of, you know, Jaden-like in his ability to kind of see the pressure, feel the pressure. What he is, I think, a bit too much of is he's way too casual, way too unaffected by anything, to the point where sometimes he'll take a 17-yard sack because he's just kind of hanging out and moving around and running around. But he's talented. He's gifted. I'll tell you what, though. That kind of statement, you want him to believe that. But if he says it, I promise you, which he did, I promise you that the tape is number one. The interviews face-to-face and all of the, you know, the true due diligence that teams do are 1A or 1B, all right? But this kind of thing, saying it publicly, is on the list for teams to look at and say, do you see what he said publicly? If you don't draft me, that's your fault. You've got to remember you're the same team that's got to play me for the rest of my career, and I'll remember that. For those of you that will say and will answer, well, what do you want him to say? Well, the answer is simple. Nothing. I want him to believe that full-fledged. I want him to believe that. I don't want him to basically threaten teams for not taking him, because he feels so confident in himself. I want him to be confident in himself. I also want him to have some good sense and not to say it. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. Underpromise and overdeliver. I can promise you this. If Jaden Daniels had said this last year in February, mid-February, about, you know, teams passing on him, I think a lot of you would have said, I'm out. I don't want this. Now, I would have felt differently about Jaden Daniels. I would have said, he's young, he'll learn, wasn't super smart to say that publicly, in my opinion. I want him to feel that. I absolutely want him to feel that. I just don't want him to say it. I want him to show me. I want him to show everybody. You know, not tell everybody before he's taken his first NFL snap from center. But I don't know. In this day and age, does this thing get blown up for, you know, with a team? It certainly won't rise to the top two or three, but it will be on the notes list for everybody to review. Because character, culture, you know, all of that stuff is so important. And some of these things can be revealing. All right, Jaden Daniels. Does he have any flaws that need to be fixed? And if so, what are they? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Michael, he needs to improve on playing and beating Dallas. Yeah, that's a good one. He definitely struggled with the Cowboys, and I'll tell you what, they struggled to block Dallas. They really struggled in the trenches in a few games that are memorable, and I would say both Dallas games, the Dallas first half with Jaden in the game, and the Dallas game for much of it, they got beat up front in that game. He did. I just went back through the nine interceptions. One of them was a Hail Mary at the end of the Dallas game, you know, after the 34-26 lead that they took after the missed extra point. And then the second kickoff return off the onside kick, he threw a Hail Mary that got picked off at the end of that game. So those don't obviously count. So I'd give that eight picks. He also, by the way, and Denton just looked this up on Pro Football Focus, of the quarterbacks in the league that took 80% of their team's snaps, he had the lowest turnover-worthy throw percentage. So he did not put the ball in harm's way, obviously, much at all. And yet still had great production. It wasn't because he was conservative, necessarily. So the question is, you know, off of the conversation last week in which I said, I don't know that, I think one of the reasons it's possible that year two won't be perceived as a big jump forward year for Jaden Daniels is because year one was without flaw. You know, what is his area of needing to fix? There's no area needing to fix, in my opinion. There may be areas where you need to improve marginally, but that's the question. Does he have flaws that need to be fixed? And if you don't think so, what are the areas in which you'd like to see some improvement? I think that there is that tendency to want to scramble to his right more consistently than to the left. I think being able to scramble in both directions, being a threat, that would be a real small nit to pick. You know, what Owen wrote about drifting, there were some times in which he drifted, but I think that was more towards the beginning in the middle of the season in the pocket. Denton, do you have anything?
I would have liked to see, like, some decision-making maybe a tad bit better. I don't know that that's a flaw necessarily. Just
as a runner?
To grow on. Well, decision-making, yes, as a runner, but also kind of reading the field. It did feel like there were times where maybe he passed up a check down that would have been good for, you know, 5 to 6 yards, keep you guys, keep the team ahead of the sticks, rather. So, I mean, I'd like to see improvement on that, but I wouldn't call that a flaw. Like, if I think of a flaw, it's like a guy that does something terrible. I didn't think he was terrible in that regard. That's just something I'd like to see him do better.
Right. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's start with D.C. In Calvert County. D.C., go ahead. What's his flaw, if he has one, or what's an area in which you think he can marginally improve upon?
Great day, Kevin. I'm glad that the gentleman wrote this email because I definitely know that he has already evaluated himself, and he was doing that throughout the season as well as Cliff Kingsbury. And I'm not going to sit here and say what I think he has a flaw in. What I can say is I hope that he gets more command of the offense and gets to, you know, the freedom to check and make more calls at the line of scrimmage with his team and also coordinated with the offensive line. But honestly, he's already in the lab working on whatever his evaluation was at the end of the year with Coach Kingsbury and the assistant the quarterback coaches. Because I know I transferred in college because I felt the coach didn't give me an evaluation because I was so used to being coached hard. I wanted him to tell me everything that I thought I did wrong. And he really told me, like, general stuff. So I know Jaden is the hardest critic of himself. He's already working on his flaws or the things he thinks he needs to be better at.
Sure. And I guess what we're trying to come up with is, what do we think he's working on? You know? I mean, what is it that watched over 20 games that we would say you really got to go back and work on that. Thanks for the call. Because his end of year performance review was pretty favorable, I would imagine. You know, this was not a this was not a Dwight performance review where Dwight had to come in and give the whole pitch to Michael in front of Jan, by the way. Great scene. Let's go to Marcus in Brandywine. Marcus, Jaden Daniels, does he have a flaw? What does he need to improve upon? Go ahead.
I'm not gonna lie. I didn't see a flaw. I don't see much he needs to improve on. I know you touched on, you know, I guess scrambling to the right. And the only thing I can assume with that is being a right-handed quarterback, it makes it easier. It kind of makes me feel a little bit better scrambling to the right because as a right-handed quarterback, maybe he's thinking maybe somebody will pop open and I can throw it as opposed to just, I'm just going to run for my life, right? And so that makes me feel a little bit better, him scrambling to the right. I do get it. Teams see that. Teams can game plan for him scrambling to the right. So I guess maybe, you know, of course, scrambling in the other direction could, you know, benefit him. But as far as flaws, I don't see any flaws as far as, you know, him getting better next year. I don't see him really – I don't see his numbers improving because they're already amazing. I mean, there's always room for numbers to grow, but I think the only way that happens is, I guess, the supporting cast around him, you know, getting some other big targets and maybe his touchdowns go up. You know, maybe the yards go up. But as far as him – and even if he declines slightly from this year to next year, a slight decline – will possibly still put him in the top five in quarterback play. So I don't really think he needs to improve much on anything. I don't think there's much room for improvement aside from just getting other guys in here that can maybe, you know, get those deep balls. You know, I mean, it was a lot of drop passes. You can't really blame him for that. You think about the drop passes and his numbers go up more. Some touchdowns that were dropped, you know, his numbers go up more in that area. So I really don't see it being a huge area for improvement from year one to year two as far as, you know, just at the quarterback position. But I do see that possibly the numbers can go up just based off of how we act in this offseason. So
yeah, no,
that's my theory.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think one of the things that will happen is that if they are successful in this offseason, that the supporting cast will be better. If you get an improved defense, that'll give him even more opportunities. Look, there's a list of one when it comes to rookie quarterbacks with 4,000-plus total yards, 30-plus total touchdowns, and 10-plus wins. That list is one. It's him, Jaden Daniels. You know, will he have that year statistically next year? I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to top. Not the passing yardage number, not the touchdown passing yardage number. But, you know, if you improve defensively, you're going to get more opportunities. You're going to get more opportunities on shorter fields, potentially. Let's go to Liz. Liz, thanks for holding. What does Jaden have as a flaw that needs to be fixed?
Hey, good morning, guys. I really don't think he has any flaws. You know, a lot of times, you know, we tend to criticize. We're so critical, I feel like, of players and professional athletes, especially in the DMV area. I mean, like, Jaden had a passer rating of 100%. Okay?
It's a passer rating of 100 on a scale of 158.7.
Yeah, of 100. Okay, so he had a passer rating of 100. Okay, so that's a pretty good, you know, passer rating for his rookie year. And if you take his stats and compare it to someone like Tom Brady's passer rating for his first year, maybe some people will be a little less critical. I know we expect a lot from our professional athletes, but again, the previous caller said a lot of the points I was going to say as well. A lot of his other ratings, completion ratings and things like that go higher when we don't have, you know, our passers dropping the ball. And I also feel like some things that he could work on. I mean, I feel like he is very critical of himself, but as he gets more confident in his, even more confident in his leadership ability, the team will rally around him, and hopefully they'll get more comfortable in jail. But absolutely no criticisms of this young man whatsoever.
I don't think there are many, Liz. I would say that there aren't many from even, a DMV that can be critical. I think this is about as positive about any player after a first year that, that's the point of this segment, is trying to find somebody that says, no, he's got flaws. Or he's got a flaw, and this is what it is, and it needs to be fixed. Which, by the way, is constructively critical. Let's go to Robert in Annapolis. Robert, go ahead.
Well, how about bulking up? Just, it's not really a criticism or a flaw, just an area that he could work on. How about bulking up a little bit, particularly getting some upper body strength, more upper body strength,
right,
and avoiding hits? I think he could probably do a better job of avoiding contact. Would you agree or not?
Yeah, except that I would say that was something that he improved upon as the year went on.
But he still got a long career to go. I'm just thinking,
I just think his decision making with respect to getting out of bounds versus taking a hit or getting down, I think he improved on that during the course of the year. I wouldn't call that a flaw. I would call that an area which, to your point, maybe it can involve additional improvement, but it was something that he improved upon during the course of the year, just like he improved upon keeping his eyes down the field, even as a scrambler. He did that pretty early in the season. I'm just not anywhere near level, expert level enough to know whether or not they're saying, we need to bulk you up, we need you to get stronger, or whether or not they look at it and view him as perfect as is. I don't know. I know what you're saying. It seems logical that if he were a little bit stronger, maybe upper body-wise or wherever, but, I don't know if that impacts other areas of his game. You know what I mean? Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, you've got the last word on this. Go ahead.
Man, hell to the W, man.
Yep.
It must be the off season. Robert from Annapolis is calling. He was calling during the regular season. He's just scared. But to piggyback off of Robert from Annapolis, listen, Jaden did an interview, and I think it is putting on. He said himself he wanted to put on 10 pounds in his off season. And
I missed that.
Full year. Yeah, he said it in an interview Super Bowl weekend. Said it his first full year, in an off season program, and he'd like to put on about 10 pounds, and that's what he said. So, but as a fan looking in, I would say maybe getting to his check down a little quicker with the running back out of the backfield. A lot of times I think it was open, and he might have just waited too late to get to him, or didn't get to him at all. And like you said, man, I think climbing the pocket up the middle of the field. I think it was a lot of yards, scramble yards there for him to gain that he didn't get to because he, like you said, would drift out to the right instead of climbing, getting to the top of his drop and then climbing the pocket. So I'll say those two as a fan. And then, like I said, he said in an interview that he wanted to put on 10 pounds of muscle in the offseason.
Don't leave Paulie up for a second because I want to read this. This comes from James. Kevin, are we going crazy here? He doesn't have any flaws? ? Are we underestimating that this could have been a one-year caught lightning in a bottle season? I mean, I am. It's not that I'm squeamish going through this. I'm afraid of jinxing the year two or anything. I'm just saying what I observed. Like, he doesn't have any major flaws. I don't think he has any real flaws. We are nitpicking here on a few things. The guy had the greatest rookie season at the position and proved that he is right now an elite quarterback. But do you think, Paulie Denton, that we're getting a little carried away after just one season?
I wouldn't say carried away. I just think it's something we haven't had you know, in 30 years. But
maybe that's why we've gotten to this point where we're so optimistic, because we want it so much.
But no, I don't think we carried away, man. If you look at it, I mean, like you said it in the preseason, and then he proved it throughout the season. He checked all the boxes. And the most impressive thing about it is his passing from the pocket. I mean, I heard you say it all off season long. What you thought his flaw was what? Throwing across the middle. Didn't seem like a flaw to me.
Other people said that. And I said, I didn't think that was a flaw. It was because they didn't have a lot of third downs. Yeah.
Right, I was just saying the things that you were saying that people were saying. Another one, you're saying that the sack ratio thing. Well, you know, you explained that to you, blue in the face, and we've seen it throughout the season. Like, a lot of his sacks came on him taking 1 yard losses, you know, scrambling out of the pocket. You know, so you're right. We are nitpicking a little bit. It is what you just said. It's all constructive criticism, because I just think it's about consistency. And he's pretty much shown he's consistent in what he does, and he shows improved. You know, when something is going wrong, you see it throughout the season. But beginning of the year, his down ball throw, his downfield throwing was off a lot.
Missed
a lot. And you see, as the season went on, he got better and better until that. And you see in the final in Detroit when he hit De'Ami on that pass that crossed the. He missed that same play to McCaffrey against Pittsburgh, and he threw this one on the dime. So he shows you that. He's able to see what his mistakes are, and he works at it and improves on it. So I don't think we nitpick it. We just constructive criticism. I mean,
the constructive criticism is finding some real, you know, we're reaching for it. It's hard to find it because it was so good. With respect to a 1 year caught lightning in the bottle season, no, James, I don't think that's what I witnessed. I didn't see, I think the team caught lightning in the bottle. I think overall there was a lot of things that went their way to get to 12 wins. There's no doubt about that. But the reason ultimately they won 12 in two road playoff games was him more than anything else.
I didn't see him having a crutch. Like when he just leaned on one thing to get him out of it. I didn't see a crutch. Did you see a crutch?
No.
I didn't see a crutch.
He beat you with his arm in the pocket, and he beat you with his legs outside of it, whatever it took. And he performed at his highest levels with the game on the line.
And he beat you with his mind. How many plays that he avoided catastrophe by throwing the ball away or scrambling out of the pocket and making a 8 yard loss into a 1 yard loss, or getting out of a play. Look, hey man, the future is bright.
All right, I got to roll. Thanks. We'll get to some Denton news next. Gary Williams will join us on the show today. I do have some thoughts on whatever that was Sunday night in San Francisco that they called the NBA All-Star Game. We'll get to some of that as well. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. Are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slam dunk. We'll get to we'll get to Denton's news shortly, but this from Rocky. Rocky writes, love the topic, Kevin, but Houston radio had the same conversation last year this time. Talking about C.J. Stroud's rookie year. I had this last week, and I forget if I read this on the air or not, but I kept it. Robert in Fairfax wrote, Kevin, what do you think the adjustments to Jaden Daniels in year two will be? This time last year, everyone was convinced that C.J. Stroud's second year would be even better, and it wasn't. I've heard people say that Jaden probably just had the worst year of his career because the supporting cast can only get better, but Houston went out and added to their team too. I know that Diggs got hurt, but that was halfway into the season. Teams adjusted to Stroud. They'll adjust to Jaden. What happens then? So By the way, people aren't saying that Jaden just had the worst year of his career because of the supporting cast. They're just saying it's the worst supporting cast that he'll ever play with. That, you know, statistically, that may lead to who knows what. You know, maybe they'll end up being a phenomenal run football team. And his passing yardage numbers will go down. I mean, it's not about kind of worst career statistically. It's about, you know, the idea that if they handle their off seasons correctly, especially the next few with all of the cap space they have, this will be the lesser of his supporting casts overall. So I just personally, I don't think the comparison with C.J. Stroud's rookie year is an appropriate one. Jaden had a much better rookie season than C.J. Stroud. The only categories in which Stroud was better in were overall passing yardage and fewer interceptions. He had 5 interceptions. He had 4,108 passing yards. Jaden had 9 interceptions and 3,568 passing yards. But Jaden's overall yardage, which was much greater, he had 891 rushing yards in the season. Daniel's completion percentage was 5 percentage points higher than Stroud's. He threw more touchdowns than Stroud did his rookie year. He had fewer turnover-worthy throws. Again, number one in the league among quarterbacks that took 80% of the snaps. His EPA per dropback was better. His completion percentage over expected. His CPOE number was much better than C.J. Stroud's. Not to mention that C.J. Stroud in his rookie year played with a better defensive team in Houston than Washington had this year. And he played in the AFC South. I mean, they won 10 games in a terrible division and won one playoff game at home against a team quarterbacked by 39-year-old Joe Flacco. Washington won 12 games in the NFC East and won 2 road playoff games. And yes, I would concede that the similarity between the two is that C.J. Stroud raised the level of that team his rookie year. I don't think he did it to the point where he strapped the team to his back in the same way that Jaden did in his rookie year. But he did it. He was great. And by the way, I thought he played really well in the playoff win that they had this year against the Chargers. And then I thought at times he was pretty good. He actually got banged up in that Chiefs game. I like C.J. Stroud a lot. I don't think that Jaden's rookie year and C.J. Stroud's rookie years are the same. They're not. Jaden's was much better. And the, you know, the team results were better. The individual results were better, and I think you can make the case that he played on a team that was lesser around him. I'm not saying Houston was great around him, around Stroud in 2023, but they were better defensively. They finished in the top half of the league defensively per DVOA in 2023. Washington this year finished 24th in the league defensively.
Isn't it starting to feel a little, I would say, similar to some of the criticisms when this team hired Dan Quinn, when they compared him to Ron? Like, you're taking a few things that are worthy of comparison and just assuming the entire situation is the exact same. Like, you're taking a few things from C.J. Stroud. He was really good as a rookie. He kind of wasn't as good as a sophomore. And just assuming that because Jaden was really good as a rookie, all of the problems that C.J. Stroud had, immediately Jaden is going to have. Similarly to how Dan Quinn was a retread coach because he lost a Super Bowl and he was 5-5 in the NFC South and all these things.
Yeah, I just think that the coach thing was much more negative. You know, it was based on, you know, this. I think when people are saying they're comparing their rookie years, like two great rookie years, you know, no, it's a good comparison. It's a good comparison. I think that there's some merit to that. I just think that the difference is nobody believes that Jaden's going to be is going to regress so significantly that we're not going to think he's good anymore, you know? And I think there were a lot of people. Look, the Quinn thing, which was basically a year ago, came with, you know, the built-up media expectation that he was like the ninth choice, and which was never true. And I think that had everybody comparing him to every, you know, the thing negative, including the guy that just left.
I don't know if you have heard this, but, you know, I talked to a couple of people from the Houston market when I was in New Orleans, and the consensus is that C.J. Stroud has a little bit of smartest guy in the room, just ask him. Whereas it has always felt like, at least in the first year, Jaden and Cliff have been incredibly collaborative, and that Jaden is kind of like a sponge and he wants to learn to get better. I don't know how true that is, but that's just, I heard it from multiple different sources in New Orleans, and I was like, all right, there clearly is a little bit of something to this.
Well, look, they had a bad offensive line issue. That more than anything else contributed to C.J. Stroud's lesser year statistically. Even though it wasn't a dramatically different year statistically, it was lesser. They had major offensive line issues in Houston. With respect to what you just said, remember that game against the Bears early in the season. Wasn't it a Sunday night game? Pretty sure it was a Sunday night game.
It was.
And when he, I thought, went a bit beyond what would have been appropriate for mic'd up cameras mobbing him. And look, it could have been just a young person mistake. But when he was trying to, you know, give Caleb Williams the, hey, let me just tell you what you got to be like and how you need to handle this. And it's like, really? You've played one season, dude. Like, maybe this is a conversation for, you know, a phone call on Monday or Tuesday, the day off. And I thought that was a bit performative in the moment, a bit of, look at me, I know what I'm talking about. So I did remember saying that about that moment at the end of that game, which was a close game early in the season. Pretty sure it was a Sunday night game. Jaden definitely does not have any smartest guy in the room tendencies. There is clearly a level of humility that is incredibly endearing, I think. All right, we'll get to Denton's news next.